It's wonderful to be gathered today to come in united prayer to our God, to our great Savior. The scriptures remind us that God is God and we are not. He is the majestic, our majestic maker, our gracious creator, and we are his creatures. And whatever he does with great power. Even his divine goodness is filled with excellence beyond what we can fully take in and comprehend. The psalmist in Psalm 36 is reflecting upon the goodness of the Lord. In verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The psalmist is extolling the Lord for his marvelous goodness, the way in which indeed he is with his own children in love and mercy and provision and grace. He speaks of his steadfast love, his covenant love that led to his strong and mighty arm providing deliverance for his people, and even judgment on those who turned away from him. And he promises that the children of mankind who take refuge in the shadow of his wings will be cared for and provided. The feast in their house will be one of abundance. He promises to give them drink from the river of their delights. This is not merely God's marvelous physical provision. He does sustain his children. He provides for them. But he provides all the more the rivers of his grace through the person and work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what he gets to in the next verse, that ninth verse. For with you is the fountain of life. God is the one who is a fountain. And that fountain that he gives is life. In and of ourselves, we are putrefied water. We are stale, stagnant bodies of water that can bear no fruit or produce any good. But he is the one, especially through his Son, our Savior Jesus, is the very fountain of life. In a few moments after we pray, we'll hear something of God's mighty work of reformation. I don't want to transgress on our speaker's comments, but I will say very briefly, because it's pertinent to this very verse, 505 years ago, when Martin Luther put his 95 theses on that door of the Wittenberg Castle, making a declaration according to God's word, that his word is what has authority and not what is taught, even in error, by popes or councils. This is what Martin Luther says about this very verse, as God as the fountain of life. And he speaks of it with respect to our prayers. I'm going to read this quote and reflect upon it for just a moment before we go to God's throne of grace. This is what the reformer Martin Luther says as he picks up this image of God as the fountain of life. Because he is God, he also claims from us the honor of giving far more abundantly and liberally than anyone can comprehend. Like an eternal, inexhaustible fountain, which the more it gushes forth and overflows, the more it continues to give. Let me pause here. So Martin Luther is picking up this great image of God as the fountain and the fountain of life. And he's applying it especially to the prayers and petitions of God's needy children. And he says, we come to this fountain, and this fountain is inexhaustible. I'm not sure how, I've never been to Yellowstone. It'd be remarkable. And hopefully, maybe in someday we may see Old Faithful or one of the other geysers. Just the ongoing flow of water, or spew of water in that case. But God, through the Lord Jesus, is that inexhaustible fountain that can meet every one of his children's needs. Whatever we face, he is altogether sufficient to provide for us. Let me press on in this quote, because we've got one or two more things and time's going quickly. He desires nothing more than that we ask many and great things of him. God delights in the prayers of his children. He wants us. He wants you to come to him. Just as we desire our own children as parents, we truly do want them to come to us with their needs, with their concerns. And so our perfect Heavenly Father, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to pray even more than you may desire to. He delights in it, is what Luther is saying. And then he goes on. And on the contrary, he is angered if we do not ask and demand with confidence. God so much wants us to come to him that Luther says that he is disappointed. He's upset. He's angry, as it were, that we don't come and ask boldly, ask confidently. The Lord wants us to come in great confidence, for he is an inexhaustible fountain who is able to hear, able to answer our prayers. He wants us to ask many and great things, that we come to him confidently and boldly. I don't know about you all, but I greatly enjoy hymns. I think if I were on a stranded island and I could have one book with me and it couldn't be the Bible, I think it would probably be a great hymn book. And one of the great hymns by John Newton, Come My Soul, Thy Suit Pursue, Prepare. I know it's a complex title, but it's about coming to God in prayer. I'm going to read the second stanzas, and then I'll go back and try to get that first one out. The second one, Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such. No one can ever ask too much. The first verse. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Therefore, we will not say thee nay. Therefore, will not say thee nay. We do not want to say nay to our God, who is altogether yes and all men to hearing the prayers of his people. This morning, I was teaching the women, the Bible moderators, and in the ladies' circle study this week in Revelation chapter 5, gives a, in chapter 6, gives a picture of the throne room. And in chapter 6, it speaks of the incense, not the incense that you might find in a very high ritualistic church of aroma and smoke going into the air. It's the incense of the prayers of the saints that are right there before God in the presence of his very exalted, holy, righteous throne. Our prayers in Jesus' name go beyond the tall ceiling of this room. They go beyond the sky above us, beyond the heavens, beyond the stars and galaxies, to the very presence of God himself. So with that confidence, knowing that we have such a God and Father who delights, who wants us to pray and to ask, let us go to the Lord together. Let's begin our prayer time, bringing our praise to him for the excellency of his grace, the majesty of his name. Let's spend some moments just exalting and praising him. Let's do so together as a body, as one group, one voice at a time, praying. Let's go to our God in joyful prayer.